glad you all were paying attention and saying B and not A, even though I... Our text tonight is Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. The force of the passage, what I hope that you will take away as you're turning there tonight is... what Christ would have had the leper and all those who heard his testimony hear, what he'd have them know, he would have you know, that he is the one who causes those who are far off and unclean to be cleansed and to be brought near. The point in the passage is not so much the healing of a physical malady, it is that, but it's bringing the ones who are set off from the commonwealth of Israel, as it were, those who are set off from communion and the joy of the worship of God, brought into the congregation by the mercy and the power and the willingness of Christ. Hence, that's why present, able, and willing, and those are the three things that I hope you will see about your Lord and Savior tonight as we look at this passage. So if you will hear then the word of God from Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter. The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our God stands forever. Would you join me as we ask his blessing? Father, once again, we come to you as those who have been brought by your mercies into your very special presence. We thank you for loving us, for being willing and able and acting upon your mercies to bring the dead to life, to make the unclean to be clean, and to give a voice to those who have none, to give strength to the powerless. Yea, Lord, to grant to us that we might worship and adore you with every thought, word, and deed. May you grant that to us tonight, Father, for we ask it in the precious name of our Savior, our King, even Jesus Christ. By way of introduction tonight, I want you to feel, put your finger here, keep it here, and turn back to Exodus with me for a moment. In Exodus chapter 34, that's where I would have you go. Now Moses has asked the Lord to show him his glory. God has said, "You cannot see me face to face." And here Moses is making new tablets. Remember, the previous tablets of the law have been broken. But I want you to look with me, starting with verse 5. And we're going to read down to the end, through verse 9. Here's what's happening. God is passing by Moses. It says in verse 5, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there." You need to pause there for a minute. Because Almighty God has descended, and Scripture tells us he's standing there with Moses. Moses. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, did you catch this? God has descended. He's there with Moses. It's important you get that. He's with Moses. You know, Emmanuel, right? God with us. He's with Moses, and he's going to proclaim the name of the Lord to Moses. And here's what he says. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. This is one of those gorgeous, beautiful passages. God has condescended. He's come down. He's standing with Moses. And he passes by and he proclaims his name. And if you were to put all of that God said, if you kind of distill it down, here's what he's saying. God is a willing, merciful, gracious God. He's also holy and just. But you see how he leads off with this. His presence there with Moses. And he proclaims that he is slow to anger. He's gracious, merciful. In fact, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which would have been used in the days of the apostles, they use the same root word three times. He's a God of mercies. The Lord, a God of a merciful God and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy and practicing mercy. The idea I want you to get here is there is a gracious, merciful God. He is your God. We talked about that this morning. Not just God. Yahweh Elohecha, he is your God. The Lord, your God. With that in mind, I want to take you back to Mark chapter 1. I want to look at this passage because I want you to see here, once again, Christ demonstrating, proclaiming by what he does, says and does, that God is a merciful God, that he has abundant mercy, that he practices mercy. We see a leper comes to Jesus. I want to point out, I think we're going to get there, but we're going to come back to him, I hope. But he comes to Jesus. You need to know that this is not really what he should be doing. He's unclean. He's not supposed to be coming up to your average Jew. Of course, Jesus is not the average Jew. But he's not supposed to be coming up to people. He's supposed to be outside the camp. He's a leper. But you see the boldness of this man. And he comes, and he implores Jesus, and he kneels, and he says to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Do you see the boldness? You might even say, do you see the desperate need that this man is portraying as he comes to Jesus, imploring him? You know, you might put this another way. You might say that the leper, in doing what he's doing and saying what he says, that he's coming to Jesus saying, have mercy upon me. He wants Jesus to clean him, right? To cleanse him and restore him to fellowship with God's people and therefore so he can come into the worship of God. Have mercy on me. He implores him. But when he says, if you will, you can make me clean. You see what he's saying? You see what he's essentially asking Jesus? He's saying, I really, really, really want you to have mercy on me. Would you please have mercy on me? Not according to my desert, but if you will. He's leaving it in the hands of Jesus. And there's one of the most beautiful places. You know, preachers say that about the Bible. You can't believe a thing they say. Because they talk about the Bible being beautiful. This is a beautiful place in Scripture. Next week, David will be telling you about a beautiful place in Scripture. But this really is one of those beautiful places. Look at what it says. And the ESV, I'm using the ESV. It says, moved with pity. Do you see how gorgeous that is? Jesus, Emmanuel, was moved with compassion. Compassion. And it says he was moved with compassion, moved with pity. And here's what happened in his compassion. Mark's gospel is one of those, if you read it, you'll see that even in our passage, it says immediately, immediately. I had a professor once who said that reading through Mark's gospel, you kind of almost feel like Jesus is exhausted. Everything's immediate. Immediately this happened, boom, boom, boom. It's an action-packed gospel. It's just one thing happening after the other. But this is one of those places I feel like that time stop cinematography ought to... We don't want to do that because that would imply images, right? But the idea here is it's almost read it in slow motion. So the leper is imploring Jesus, and he's pleading with Jesus. And look at how this is moved with pity. He stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him. It's like he's stressing the whole point. You want to see what mercy looks like? You want to see what compassion looks like? Jesus stretches out his hand to a leper. You know, this would normally mean that stretching out his hand and touching the leper would make your average Jew unclean. So look at, I want you to look at verse 41 again and look at the way that it's reads in the ESV. They do a good job with this. I think moved with pity and compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. Oh, the beauty in this passage. God says, I am willing. You know, sometimes I think we approach God as though we're trying to convince him. Lord, please, please, please. And there is room for that. I'm not saying you shouldn't pursue him and that you shouldn't keep pursuing him and pleading with him. But you do know that God never changes, right? So the point of your pleading with God is not to get him to change. The point is that God is teaching you to be persistent and to rely upon him and to wait upon him. And that's what waiting upon the Lord means, right? Not twiddling your thumbs, but imploring him and living what you believe. Let's keep going here. He says, I will be clean. And just in the same way that when God said, let there be light, and there was light, it says, and immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. This is Mark's way of telling you, Jesus spoke and it was. The power of his very word. And this is something in the context, I want you to see this in the context. Here's some things that have been happening. Jesus has gone into Capernaum, into the synagogue. I think this is exceedingly important as we approach this text. He had gone into the synagogue in Capernaum. This is just in chapter 1, verse 21. They had gone into Capernaum, and it says, and immediately, there it is, on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught as one who had authority, not as one of the scribes. Now watch what happens with this authority. Immediately, there was one in the synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit. I just want to pause right there and let you know that the synagogue, they were at synagogue, and they were at worship, they were at church, and there was the man with the unclean spirit. I'm just saying, Christians, there is no room for boasting. It was at church that the unclean man was found. And Jesus then commands... The unclean spirit cries out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him and said, be silent, come out of him. Guess what happened? Yes, that's right. He was silent and he came out of him. And they were all amazed, so they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. That's right. That's right. So you see the authority and the power of God right here? And then the next thing that happens is, it says immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew. This is where Simon's and Andrew's mother-in-law, Simon's mother-in-law is ill with a fever. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. And then all manner of sickness was brought to him, and And he healed them and cleansed and made them better. So he had authority, you see, over the unclean spirits. And he had authority over the diseases and the weaknesses of the human condition. But then this crazy thing happens in verse 35. Rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed, went out to a desert place, and there he prayed. And Simon and all those who were with him were searching for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone's looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." It appears that Jesus, his main purpose for coming out was not to cast out demons and to heal physical maladies, but to proclaim the truth of Almighty God. And these were testimonies that he was who he said he was. Because the very next thing that happens is the leper comes. What I want you to see is the absolute authority and power of God, the authority and power of Jesus Christ over the unclean spirits, over the spiritual world, over the physical world. And this isn't for his own benefit. He's doing these things for the sake of his people. That is, here's God who has authority because he's God, right? But in what he's doing here, he's doing it as mediator. He's exercising his mediatorial kingship over the powers of darkness and over the physical realm as well. So all of that then brings us to the paralytic. And so he comes to Jesus and he implores him and he asks him. And Jesus says, "I will, be clean." And he touches him, which normally would have contaminated Jesus, right? If he were not who he was. But you see, his purity and his holiness overwhelmed the uncleanness that was found in the leper. In the same way John said, the darkness sought to overcome Jesus, the light, but could not. So here, you see, he touches him, and rather than him becoming contaminated, the leper becomes clean. And then Jesus does this very odd thing. He tells him this. Look what he says. "He sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them.'" So Jesus gives him an explicit command. Here's the authority, the one who has authority over the powers, the spiritual realm, and the power, authority over the physical realm, and he's already cleansed this leper. The leper's looking at himself in amazement. He's cleansed. What has separated him is now gone. And Jesus says, "Go to the temple. Go to the temple. Show yourself to the priest. Offer a cleansing." Now, if you were to turn to Leviticus chapter 14, you would find that there's a very complicated procedure that happens when a leper has been declared cleansed. And one of the things that's supposed to happen, you're supposed to... Oh, let's just turn there. Look at Leviticus 14. And it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'This shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing.'" You see, this is kind of the same language that Jesus uses to the leper. "Go and offer what Moses commanded for your cleansing." And here's what God says: "This shall be the law for his cleansing." "And you shall be brought to the priest." Jesus is saying, go to the priest, and you need to show them. And then the priest shall look, and if the disease is healed, and the leprous person is healed. Verse 4, "The priest shall command them to take for him, who is to be cleansed, 2 live, clean birds, cedar wood, and scarlet yarn, and hyssop." Please note those. "And the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel over fresh water. And he shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop and dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. And he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird go into the open field. And he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off his all his hair and bathe himself in water, and he shall be clean. And after that he may come into the camp, but live outside his tent 7 days. And on the seventh day he shall shave off all his hair from his head, his beard and his eyebrows. He shall shave off all his hair, and then he shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and he shall be clean. It goes on and he talks about the offerings that are supposed to be brought, the guilt offering, the sin offering. So this is long and it goes on and at least another couple weeks, right? And I don't want to be superficial, but man, he's going to look funny, isn't he? But Jesus tells this leper, go, show the priest, and offer what Moses commanded. Jesus says, in the original, it's interesting the way it says, nothing to no one. And for us, that's not all that great grammar. It's fine grammar where I come from. Don't say nothing to nobody. But the double negative there is emphatic in Greek. So he's, to no one, say nothing, but go and do what God has commanded. Because you need to see what God, I need you to go and consider what God has done for you. And he says even, show this as a witness to them. This is what's supposed to happen. It's the ceremony that was described in Leviticus didn't make the leper clean. It was designed to proclaim and declare what God had done in making the leper clean. The priest was to look at it and see and say, oh, he's clean. And then they go through the process. And the whole process was to declare what God had done. What's one of the neat things that happens, we didn't read it, but he's going to put blood on one side, on his ear, and on his thumb, and on his toe. And on the other side, he's going to put oil on his ear, on his thumb, and on his toe. So that on the one side you have blood, on the other side you have the anointing oil. You have this washed with the blood. You have the anointing with the oil. That the declaration that God has done this and brought the person back into communion with God's people, Jesus is saying to him, go, yes, yes, it's probably not the most convenient thing that you've done all day. But look at the glory that God has shown, the mercy that he has shown you. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Yahweh, the name of God, means mercy. Go and show them the mercy he's shown you. And do what God has said. And he's so excited, isn't he? Can you imagine how excited he is? Oh, he's delighted, elated. I'm not sure that I can think of this late in the evening a superlative. This man is overwhelmed. And so what he does is he goes and he tells everybody. And you understand that, right? So when the Lord blesses you, I can't wait to go and tell everybody, right? So we text everybody we know. We put it on Facebook and everybody on the planet knows. Well, at least the people that want to look at your Facebook page, right? But he goes out and he said, and it's interesting because where Jesus said, he used two similar words to nothing to no one, it says actually that he went out and began, the ESV says, to freely talk about it and to spread the news. You could also say that this way. He went about preaching it and spreading it out. So while Jesus said, say nothing to no one, he went and proclaimed it to everybody. But he was so excited. And after all, did you see what happened at the end? All these people are excited too. They see what happened to the leper and they say, hey, I want some of that. I want to be cleansed and healed too from my malady because I'd like to be taller. I'm only partially joking. The point is, all of these people then are excited because Jesus is able to do these things. Remember the previous context. People are seeing and they're saying, what is this that this man's doing? He has authority over the powers of this unclean spirits. He has authority over sickness. And here's over leprosy even, right? He's not even contaminated. Oh, I've got to go see this guy. But is that what Jesus told him to do? It's not what Jesus told him to do. Jesus told him, I'm going to whittle it down for you. Behold the mercy of God. Now go worship him. Oh, it almost breaks my heart because I see in myself how many times God has blessed, and I forget that the point is when he blesses me that I'm supposed to tell you about his blessings. And I'm supposed to walk out those blessings so that you see them. You know, children, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. He's been good to you. That's why we were singing that. Bless the Lord because he's good. Worship him because of the mercy he's given. That's not what he did. But how many times do we do this? What I just did for you. We can look at the end and say, yeah, but look what happened. I mean, I know Jesus said go to the temple, but look what happened. All of these people came to hear Jesus. Isn't that great? What were they coming for? Oh, that was terrible grammar. Let me try that again. Why were they coming? Why were they coming? Were they coming because they wanted to see God who had mercy to save them from their sins? No, they haven't even gotten that far. They haven't looked at themselves and seen a need for his mercy to restore them. They're saying, well, he was cleaned up, got rid of his leprosy. I bet he could fix my whatever. And they looked at the outward, superficial. You say, well, maybe to them it wasn't superficial. No, I'm certain that for many of them it wasn't. That's not the point. Do you see, Jesus said in the middle of all of this, in the middle of casting out unclean spirits in the middle of the church, in the middle of there right at home with the apostles and healing Simon's mother-in-law and the multitude of the sick that came to him, and he had the authority and the power to do it. And here's what Jesus said to his disciples: I need to go and preach to them. That's why I came. It's the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God, from the word of Christ, right? What's happening here? In this moment, this most gorgeous moment, he failed the leper to worship, to glorify God. Well, how so? Didn't he tell everybody what happened? He didn't do it the way Jesus told him to do it. He didn't do what Jesus told him to do. He did it the way he wanted to do it. Now, let me show you how this applies. Hopefully you're with me on the same page. Here's what's happened. A leper has come and he's recognized he wants to be cleansed from his leprosy. And he says, he gives himself to Jesus, and it's as if he's saying, have mercy upon me. If according to your mercies, if you will have mercy, I'll be clean. And Jesus says, I will. And he touches him and he cleanses him. And then Jesus tells him to go worship God by doing what Moses commanded. Remember, we talked about this morning that the law is a declaration of who God is. And so all of these things that are taking place, Moses was commanded to tell them. God said, tell them. And so this is how he was supposed to worship and show as a testimony to the priest so that the priest could even rejoice, you see? And he doesn't do it. That's hard, but I want to show you the flip side of that. This is glorious. This is gorgeous. I want you to listen to this portion of Scripture. Is familiar to you. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. You'll recognize it right off the bat. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Psalm 51. Listen to the language of King David. And the title, by the way, not the ESV title, the Hebrew title, to the choir master, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. You know this, but listen to what he says. I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. When this leper is sent to the temple, what is he supposed to be doing when he goes to the temple? When he goes to the priest. Part of this is recognizing and acknowledging what I've deserved, but what God has done. And listen to what he says. so that you may be justified in your words, blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Here's what's happening. David is saying, I know exactly what I am. I know what I am from birth. I know what I am by nature, and I'm pleading with you to have mercy upon me. And if you will, you can make me clean. Look at the very next thing. Purge me with hyssop. That was a requirement in Leviticus, the hyssop and the birds. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. David's using leprous language. And he says, if you do this, listen how he does this. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. What's he saying? If you wash me and cleanse me, I can be restored to the congregation of God and enter into his special presence and worship him. I can be restored to my God and to his people. Because a leper, you see, is cast out of the camp. And he says, hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Look in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Oh, that's a beautiful place. He uses the same language that begins the entire Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here he says, create in me a new heart. David is saying, don't enable me to improve myself. But Lord, please act and make my heart to be after yours. Create in me that which is well-pleasing in your sight. Be at work in me to will and to do of your good pleasure. Have mercy upon me. Cast me not away from your presence. You see, he's still using the language of a leper. And take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit. Uphold me with a willing spirit. If you are willing, you can make me clean. And God is declaring, I am willing. And if tonight you sit here purchased and redeemed and bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus, know this, that God has demonstrated to you his love and his willingness. And now the question is, what will you do with it? You see, because when we talk about God's mercy and we talk about his grace, how many times does the sermon stop that he showed you grace? Boom, it stops. No, we're not going to stop there. Jesus didn't stop there. He showed him grace. He showed him mercy. He showed him that he was present with him. The same way God came down to Moses, here was Christ standing with the leper. They shouldn't have been together, right? He's present with him. And not only is he able, he's already shown that he has authority over the powers of darkness and every physical malady, over the spiritual realm, the physical realm. He's also willing. David says, uphold me with a willing spirit. Do you see how amazingly awesome your God is? And I'm not using awesome the way that most people want to use. It'd be awesome if you could park out to the side. That's not awesome. That's convenient. God is awesome that he can overwhelm our wretchedness with his mercy and restore us to fellowship with one another. That he can take sinners make them sons and daughters. That he can take the barren woman and make her a rejoicing mother. That he can say to the widow, the Lord is your husband. He can say to the orphans, I am your father. He can say to the helpless, I am your help. And we can sing, you are my strength, my rock, and the lifter of my head. You see, then you see the grace, you see the mercy of God. Don't let the sermon stop there, friends. I mean the sermon that you walk out when you leave tonight. Don't let the sermon stop with, God is grace, God is good, God is gracious, amen, praise God. And I could ask you if you wanted to say amen to that. I'm not going to. But he's good and he's gracious, isn't he? Now, don't take this the wrong way. God is good, God is gracious, but so what? You're surrounded by a culture that finds its confidence, its happiness, its completion in things you have to charge up every 45 minutes. Okay, maybe not 45. Depends how old it is, right? And there are things and the strength in themselves. So what? God is good and God is gracious. I can find a lot of things that will comfort me and make me feel good. It might look like things that God says I'm not supposed to do. It might look like pornography. It might look like adultery. It might look like drug addiction. It might look like all kinds of things like that. It might look like, do you know we can do that with church as well, right? We can go to church and turn that into our therapy session rather than coming to God to worship. Because, the unclean spirit was at church. The point that I want to make for you is that Jesus gave him a gracious command. When he says, go and show them as a testimony to them, that's literally what he says, as a witness to them, proof, the ESV says. What's he proving? He's supposed to go to the priest and he's supposed to show, God has been merciful to me. Friends, when you leave worship tonight, I want you to be thinking, I want you to be praying, God has been so gracious and so good to me. And if you're having trouble thinking about the things which he's done for you, you know, the counting your blessings thing, count your many blessings. If you have trouble with that, start counting your sins, and that will give you some things to be thankful for. Because his grace covers a multitude of sins. But I want you to think about those things that God has done. Even if it's that most abstract, God has purchased me and he loves me and I'm a redeemed child of God. It's wonderful. Now what I want you to do is walk that out. Worship him. And don't be ashamed to worship him the way that he says to worship him. Here's what happens. I'm going to close out with this. People hate it when I tell them that because 30 minutes later, we're still closing. I want you to listen to this. This is in my studies, I've discovered this is an RP favorite passage, Colossians 3. You know, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, right? Because it's talking about the Psalter. But I'm going to back you up for a minute and I want you to listen to this. Chapter 3 of Colossians, Paul writes to the church at Colossae, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Do you remember those birds? Do you remember what the one bird was supposed to be? One died, and its blood, and it was the... But what happened to the other one? Did you catch it? It's set free. The demonstration is the one is dead. There's the old you, the old man, and there's the new life symbolized that what God has done, not what he did in the ceremony and the rite, but what he has done. Listen to what he says. Not on things that are in the earth, but things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, the authority that God has. That Christ has as our mediator. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are in the earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You have a new life. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. Then he says this. Here's the other bird. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And he goes through a long list. Please read that. I'm not going to take the time to read them, but he goes through. He's not being exhaustive. It's not a checklist. As long as you don't do these things, you're good. He's giving examples. But what he says is, put the things which are earthly to death. Those things in you that are earthly, put them to death. The other bird. And he says, in these you too once walked. That's the whole symbol of the birds. The one died. The one is set free. The old life. The new life. He says, don't lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self. It's rather bothersome that the ESV does that. Most translations do that. The word is man. It can mean self. It's the word generic for person. But I want you to understand this. Put off the old man, who you are in Adam, dead. And put on the new man, Christ, which is being renewed. Listen to this. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. How did God create man? Male and female after his own image. Right? You don't have the image of God in you. You are the image of God. You are Imago Dei. And when you've been born again, you have that image. It's being restored, right? That's what he says. After the image of the Creator. And then he says, here there's not Greek, there's not Jew, there's not circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free. The Christ is all in all. And he says, put on then, so you've put off the old, put on the new, dead bird, flying bird. Look what he says. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion. It's a similar word that was used in Mark's gospel when he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And it says, and moved with pity or moved with compassion. Same word. So what he's saying to you, friends, is to reflect what God has done in you and for you. That's why the leper was supposed to go back and show as a testimony, here's what God has done. But he's putting it into context. Paul says, put on God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Look at how you do that. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Then he says, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So you are to show mercy and compassion as God has shown mercy and compassion. And then he says, show love, which binds everything together. Not outcast like a leper, but brought together as one body in Christ. Because it was God's love that cleansed you. Binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Oh, I skipped one. At the end of verse 15, be thankful. And then you see, at the end of verse 16, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You see that inclusio? It's a bracket around them, and look what he says to do. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Here's how you're thankful to God. Here's how you return thanks to God for his mercy. You worship him. Look at what it says. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know that passage we love so much because it tells us that we're supposed to be psalm singers. It's put into the context of showing God's mercy to one another. So what am I saying to you? I told you I was going to clean this up 30 minutes ago. My friends, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. His willingness demonstrated by his love and sending his son to live and die for you so that you're covered in the blood, anointed with the Spirit, and given the opportunity to worship him. So yes, sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Now I'm going to get in trouble because that's not necessarily an RP distinctive. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is what God's people do when they recognize his mercy to them. It's what Christians do. Sing to him. Worship him, live for him, and encourage and carry one another because that's what he's done for you. Oh, that passage about the leper tells you that Christ is present with you. It tells you that he is able to do and all the beautiful thing that he is willing to do it. Now, my friends, by his grace and through the faith that is a gift that he has given and by his Holy Spirit that dwells in you, will you be present with one another? Will you be willing to love one another? Will you demonstrate your willingness to serve one another? Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And to that you can say amen. Father, we thank you so much for your grace that you have demonstrated you are God with us. Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. You are able to do far more than we can ask or think. And we praise you, Father, that you have demonstrated your willingness, that Christ demonstrated his willingness. And now we pray, Father, that you would work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Help us then that in all that we do, we would worship you, singing psalms in our hearts, forgiving and bearing one another, encouraging and strengthening one another, loving one another. We ask this in the precious name of him who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. As we close our worship